Welcome to Sacred Realms. What? It's a great day in Hyrule, y'all. Welcome to Sacred Realms, a Zelda retrospective podcast. I'm your host, Lyndon Willoughby, joined, as always, by my co-host, Matt Willoughby. Matt, how are you doing on this 10th week of our podcast?
Number one, I'm in disbelief that it's been 10 weeks, because it feels like we just started playing this game yesterday. Although, I find that to be true about most things as I get older, is like time is really just a face on the water. It has no
flat
depth.
Circle.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yeah.
There's no, it's all just relative.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But I am excited because today we are bringing the closing chapter of one of the greatest video games in history to our listeners. And we get to tell them what we think about it.
Yeah. So, like Matt said, obviously, and just to preface, we don't have a guest for this episode today. I think we're gonna have plenty of material, just Matt and I hashing out what happens in this section of the game, so it's fine.
We like to talk, so we feel like adding a third person here would have been a little much on y'all's time commitment.
Yeah, but anyway, we beat a game this week, so yeah, gonna have a lot of fun discussion about that. There's going to be quite a lot to get into, so featuring a truly bodaciously long plot recap by Matthew. Probably a few musical intercuts on my editing side of things. I mean, it's going to be
there's going to be so much monologuing and musical excerpts, interludes, that y'all are going to get probably almost as much of that as you are just our back and forth dialogue.
Yep. It's going to be a crazy one.
It's going to be awesome.
Before we get into that, let's get into some housekeeping. If you didn't know, Sacred Realms is a weekly reexamination of The Legend of Zelda, one little slice at a time. Sacred Realms drops every Wednesday and is available on all major podcast networks. Every week, we play a new section of a Zelda game, then we sit down here to talk and to drop our hot takes. If that sounds fun to you, please head over to Apple Podcasts, hit that subscribe button, and be sure to leave us a review. 5-star reviews are greatly appreciated, and they have a chance to get a shout-out here on the show. If you want more Sacred Realms in your life, head on over to patreon.com/sacredrealmspod to get access to bonus episodes, write in listener mail, vote on what game we play next, and so much more. I said this last week. I thought that the May design of cards would be here by now, the Sheik design. I got tracking info last week, and it hasn't updated since then, so may need to send an email to those guys. But regardless, they should be here before too long. I'll have IRL pictures of those cards, and then we will work on getting them out to y'all. So that should come very soon. One more note on game voting. By the time you are listening to this episode, the poll will have closed. Currently, Link's Awakening is still in the lead by one vote.
Ooh, we're down to the wire, boys.
So will a Link to the Past come from behind and pull off an upset? Who can tell? Also, Minish Cap maintaining a very respectable third place in this poll. It's really not that far behind the first two, which makes me very excited. Yeah, this makes me very excited because I love Minish Cap quite a lot. And even though it's most likely not going to win this time around, it seems to be a pretty good bet that we'll be playing it sooner rather than later. So,
and we had an exciting development in one of the things we were talking about last week, that the Game Boy Micro.
Yeah, the Famicom-themed Game Boy Micro that we thought was lost to time.
We found it. Thank you to our wonderful friend and neighbor, Mike, for rescuing that from the depths of whatever hole it fell into, and also being kind enough to let us know that he rescued it instead of just selling it on eBay and making a hot buck. But thank you, Mike. And also, very excited to actually have a console or handheld device on which to actually play.
Yeah, no
Cap
kidding.
Now.
This thing is still in great shape and apparently still works just fine. So yeah, all good stuff. Very excited to have rediscovered that blast from the past.
Oh man. So And you, our listeners, if you have listened to our show more than once or twice, you probably know that Lyndon and I both very much like love Minish Cap. So it is exciting for me to see that that's high-ish up on the list, right? I mean, it was pretty obvious, like as a safe bet, that either Link to the Past or Link's Awakening would be our first go around with 2D Zelda game because they're just so iconic and so beloved. But there was a small hope in my heart that Minish Cap would win out because it's my favorite top down, but
yeah. Well, we'll get to it sooner rather than later. One final note. Next week, we are going to be doing a wrap-up episode for Ocarina of Time before we transition into whatever the next game we play is. So, you know, we'll go over our general thoughts having beaten the game and put a bow on things, basically.
I mean, as much of a bow as you can on one of the most iconic and transitional games in modern video game history. That's like trying to say, what do you think the significance of the Statue of Liberty is to the United States of America? That's what, like, Ocarina of Time is to video games.
Oh, is that all? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, how do you wrap that in a nice little package that we can then deliver on an audio file out to the world?
That's a great question, but we're sure as heck going to try.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I just want everyone to know that
the magnitude of that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a monumental undertaking.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So regardless, the week after next, we'll get into the next game that we're going to play. And we will let you guys know what our schedule looks like. As soon as that is finalized, we'll start trying to line up guests. And yeah, we'll keep on rolling. This train doesn't stop.
No, not now that we have a pretty good amount of listeners. Like, if there were only like 5 of y'all, then maybe the train would stop. But there's a solid 300, 400 of you a week. Like, you guys are awesome.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Our podcast recently, this past like Saturday or Friday, mm-hmm. hit almost, what was it, 2,500?
Yeah.
2,500 total downloads across our first season. So thank you so much for the support and the love. The 5-star reviews have all been really great, very heartwarming. The engagement with our patrons on the Patreon has been fantastic. You guys are really just making this a lot of fun for us.
Yep, y'all rock. Undoubtedly. Okay, I think that's all we've got for housekeeping today. Without further ado, let's talk about what we played. This is the Sacred Realms Rundown for the final time in The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. The Sacred Realms Rundown is a 6-part analysis of what we played this week and the feelings that it made us feel. Today, we are covering Ocarina of Time Chapter 9, which includes Ganon's castle and the finale of the game. Part 1 is the plot recap as read by Matt, and I think that this is like truly a beast of a plot recap.
Well, I mean, yes, the most plot-heavy portion of the game, except for possibly when we get the Master Sword.
It might even be more than that. I mean, it's a lot.
It's a lot. We're going to have to, once this is over, go listen to each of the monologue sessions, and or at least this one and then that one, and see which one's longer.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, without further ado, take it away, Matt. Tell us what happened.
All the sages have been freed, and the land of Hyrule's protectors are now ready to fight alongside us, the hero of time, to end the rule of the evil king. As Raru told us after we freed Naburu, we head back to the Temple of Time to meet with a mysterious ally. As we arrive, we find none other than Sheik awaiting us in the antechamber of the temple. Not exactly mysterious, but definitely constant. As he congratulates us for completing our quest to free the sages, he gives us the final piece of the puzzle that we need in order to defeat the evil king. When Ganondorf attempted to claim the Triforce for himself 7 years ago, the sacred triangles split into their 3 component parts because his heart was not pure and balanced. Instead of receiving the ultimate power of the gods, he was granted only the piece that resonated most strongly with him, the Triforce of Power. With this piece, he was still able to wreak untold havoc upon the land and conquer it with his minions, but he was not given the ultimate power that comes with the complete Triforce, so hope remains to defeat him. The other 2 pieces of the Triforce were scattered to their respective destined hosts, and there have remained safely out of his reach. Sheik reveals that we are the destined wielder of the Triforce of Courage. The last piece of the Triforce, the piece of wisdom, is all that remains to be found. And before our shocked and bewildered eyes, Sheik reveals that not only is he the keeper of this peace, but also that he is none other than Princess Zelda in disguise. For the last 7 years, the princess has been in hiding as a member of the Sheikah tribe, while fighting against Ganondorf in order to keep the Triforce of Wisdom safe from his grasp. By using the power of the Triforce, she has been able to wage a campaign against the forces of the evil king while we lay in the Chamber of Sages, awaiting the right time to awaken as the hero of time. As we're still processing this revelation, the walls of the temple begin to shake and debris falls from the ceiling as a booming and sinister voice echoes throughout the antechamber. Ganondorf's triumphant chuckle crashes over us as he magically encases Princess Zelda in an impenetrable crystal. Now that he knows the location of the other two pieces of the Triforce, he intends to use Zelda as a bait to lure us into final combat and hopefully steal the remaining pieces from our cold and lifeless bodies. We have no choice but to venture to his castle and do battle with the evil king once and for all. Armed with the power of the sages and the sacred light arrows that Zelda gifted us, we head to the dark fortress that Ganondorf has erected in place of the once grand Hyrule Castle. The dark monstrosity of a castle looms heavily against a black horizon, and as it floats, suspended by evil magic over an abyss of swirling lava, we see with despair that there is no way for us to gain entrance into this ominous place. However, as we approach, the sages use their power to create a bridge of pure light so that we may cross safely over the abyss below and approach our quarry. Once inside the castle, we see that the inner castellum is guarded by an impassable barrier generated by six spires that appear to be aligned with the areas of Hyrule that we have just freed from the evil king. As we make our way through these six trials, we use all of our tools and cunning to break the dark barrier that bars our way. We shoot the dark magic that is generating the barriers with the sacred light arrows, and the corresponding sages appear and dispel the portion of the barrier. Finally, after all six have been destroyed, the barrier falls and the way is clear. We make our way through the inner chambers, climbing staircase after staircase, on our way to the top, from where an ominous organ music bellows throughout the castle. After felling hordes of enemies, including a pair of ferocious iron knuckles, we reach the throne room of Ganondorf himself. The organ music is deafening, and the dark power is palpable as he turns to confront us with his ever-present sinister chuckle. As the three reunited pieces of the Triforce resonate, Ganondorf uses his dark magic to transform his throne room into an arena of battle, and in doing so, he banishes our faithful Naevi from our side. It is now truly a duel for the fate of Hyrule between us and Ganondorf. As battle is joined, Ganondorf uses all of his considerable dark magic to attempt to fell us. Using the powers of the Master Sword and the light arrows, we combat his evil sorcery with the powers of light. After a grueling battle of power, wits, and courage, we defeat the evil king and bring him to his knees. In his disbelief and rage, Ganondorf uses the last of his strength to attempt to bring us and Zelda down with him by collapsing his dark fortress beneath our feet. As we make our way down the castle, fighting through collapsing rubble and a few last straggling minions, we finally win free of this dark prison and into the cool night air. With the castle collapsing behind us, we breathe a sigh of relief, believing that finally the fight is over and Hyrule can be free at last. Boom. 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 As we go to investigate the worrying sounds coming from beneath the rubble, a wall of fire separates us from the princess, and out of the wreckage rises Ganondorf himself, glowing eyes enraged by defeat and mad with power. He brandishes the Triforce of Power at us and lets loose a primal scream of rage and hate. Before our very eyes, he transforms himself into a monstrous beast of gigantic proportions. Mindless and enraged, he lashes out with his dual blades and knocks the Master Sword from our grip. We have no choice but to join battle against this beast, Ganon, without our trusty and sacred blade. Using the light arrows and the weapons gained along our journey, we begin to chip away at the monster. Finally, after an interminable time, he weakens enough that he can no longer maintain the barrier of fire, and we are able to rescue the sacred blade and talk to the princess. Battle is rejoined, and while the ferocity of Ganon is great, our courage, prowess, and determination are ultimately too great for this dark monster to overcome. As the beast falls to its knees, Zelda unleashes a wave of pure light to keep him weakened, so that we can use the sacred blade to kill the beast once and for all. As the final blow is struck, Zelda calls upon all the sages to combine their powers and banish Ganon's soul to the Dark Realm for all eternity. Finally, the dark power of Ganon is contained, and the sages stand victorious. With the castle destroyed, Ganon sealed away, and the forces of evil on the run, Zelda takes a moment of peace to confer with us. She tells us of her regrets and knowing that she had made a mistake in trying to control the Sacred Realm at such a young age. And because of these mistakes, not only did Hyrule lose so much, but we, her dear friend and savior of the kingdom, lost our childhood and were torn from our rightful timeline. As a final parting gift, she returns us to our proper place in time, to set right the mistakes of the past, and to hopefully live a life of peace and of normalcy that we otherwise have not had. As we return to the Temple of Time and place the Master Sword back in its pedestal, we are returned once again to our childhood self. Castle Town is again full of civilians and laughter and joy. Sadly, this means that the journey is over, and thus our faithful companion, Nevi, must leave. We are not a Kokiri after all, and her place is in the forest. The last thing to do is to head to Hyrule Castle and meet the Princess of Destiny one last time.
This has been the plot recap as read by Matt. As promised, it was a lot.
Yeah, I'm going to need some water here for a second. So your turn to monologue for a second.
Some water or some whiskey?
A little bit of both.
What are we drinking tonight, Matt?
Oh, this is Nikka from the Barrel, Japanese whiskey that Lyndon is very fond of. I'm not particularly fond of Japanese whiskeys, but I do like this one.
I'm big on the Japanese whiskey train. Yeah,
I'm more of a Scotch guy.
I know. Scotch. I got him while he was taking a drink of water. Yeah, I love it. That's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. Okay, this takes us into part two, which is our takes, where we talk about how we feel about what happened in this section of the game. And honestly, I mean, a great finale. Really great way to finish this whole journey that we've been on. There are a few things that I kind of wanted to point out here. The first of which is that Sheik, while great, is such a drama queen about the
drama person.
Yeah, whenever he puts up his hand and you see the Triforce,
he does the whole like whoosh,
yeah, he's got kind of this like big old Power Ranger routine where he's like,
"Oh, it is exactly like the Power Rangers."
It's morphin' time. Go, go, Power
Rangers! Yeah, arms are flying everywhere, poses are struck.
Only 90s babies will understand.
Yeah, it's a little extra. So
a little?
Yeah,
it's a lot extra. Yeah.
All of that aside, this was a very fun section of the game to play. I think that the landscape surrounding Ganon's castle is so imposing. And the second that you step into there, it really does set a tone for everything that's going to happen for the next few hours as you run up to the final boss fight with Ganondorf and then Ganon. What do we think about the final boss fights of this game? Well, okay. I guess let's not get there yet. Yeah, we should actually get into we should do that in the dungeon map.
So this section of the game, as a finale, so it was a little bit spoiled in my opinion, just by the very nature of the way that we have been playing this game, right? Like, we stopped playing right at the end of the Spirit Temple.
Yeah.
Turned the game off. When you open Ocarina of Time and you're an adult, you spawn in the Temple of Time, right?
Right. So there was no opportunity
to like go and like,
yeah,
you know, because what you're supposed to do, I think, right? It's like what the game designers, I assuming, were hoping you would do is you would beat the Spirit Temple. Raru would give you that little message of like, there is an ally who you need to meet. Go back to the Temple of Time and your destiny will be revealed and blah, 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 whatever. Like, I think that the game designers were hoping that you would go, not turn off the game at that point, go directly to the Temple of Time. So like, you've got this suspense building up, right? You're like, oh, new ally? Super cool. Maybe it's going to be, you know, I don't know, some super powerful sorcerer who's going to give me something that will defeat Ganon, who we think has the Triforce. Like, I don't know. But instead, we got it a little bit. The climax wasn't exactly there, right? It was turn on the game and immediately you're in the cutscene of running into the Temple of Time. And I was like, oh, wait, okay, we're going. We're doing the thing, right?
Yeah.
So that was... If you are playing along with us and have not yet beaten the Spirit Temple, beat the Spirit Temple and then walk yourself back. I wouldn't teleport. I would honestly like let in, unless, of course, you've like beaten this game 1,000 times. Right. Like, I think there's a lot to be said for letting that suspense build on your way back.
Yeah, I definitely think that that's true. It's definitely a weird quirk of the way that picking up this game after you've turned the system off mm-hmm. functions. I mean, because as an adult, you go back to the Temple of Time every time you turn the game back on. And so I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's a contingency that the game designers could have planned around, because it is a little awkward booting up the game. And then it's like, oh, here we are. We're in like a cutscene right now.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. It is a little bit awkward. And I like just with the system limitations of the Nintendo 64, I'm not sure how we could have done that. Maybe by forcing you to leave the temple and come back, they could have done something like that. But I don't know. I don't know enough about game design to say one way or another whether or not this was.
But powerful. That does happen elsewhere in the game. Like you and I both said when we got to the Shadow Temple episode that we if you come to Kakariko Village from
the wrong gate
entrance, mm-hmm. like if you, mm-hmm. after you beat the Water Temple, if you come down to Kakariko Village That's from true. Death Mountain, then the cutscene where Sheik is standing over the well and Bongo Bongo escapes, like none of that happens. You have to go back out of the village and come back That's in true. In order to get the cutscene. So clearly that kind of like logic is in there. It's possible.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think honestly, this whole scene would have had a little more gravitas in the Chamber of the Sword, not on the teleport pad.
Oh, right. So like
I think yeah. that, yeah, I think if I were, you know, hindsight 2020, right? Like if I were the one that was like trying to give this scene, it's real. I mean, it's already a pretty like hefty scene. Obviously it's supposed to be. I think it would have had even more gravity had it taken place with the pedestal of the Master Sword in the backdrop instead of just like,
well, and that would have worked functionally. That would have solved the issue we're talking about where
exactly.
there's like there's a gate, like you walk into the Chamber of the Master Sword and then the cutscene plays.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I feel like that probably would have been a better. And then you can warp to the Temple of Time without walking and still get the full like,
yeah,
oh, this something cool is about to happen.
So all of that is neither here nor there. But I guess speaking more about just wrapping up a game, this is the last section of the game. Do you feel like this is a good conclusion to Ocarina of Time?
Yes, I do.
I sense a big old butt coming up.
It's not. When I remember Ocarina of Time, right? Like, if I haven't played it in 5-10 years, the whole game is so much more grand in my mind. And, like, especially this section of the game, Ganon's Castle, right? Like, it is the pinnacle climax of the game. It's supposed to be the hardest. It's supposed to be the most emotionally impactful. It's supposed to be the culmination of everything you've done in the game. And I remembered that we have these little 6 trial rooms going on. And I remember all of that. And then, like, I did them. And it took me, like, 30 minutes
yeah.
to do the whole thing. And, like, I didn't even come close to dying a single time. When I think of final boss fights, when I think of like wrapping up an epic game like this, The last thing I want to think is, oh, the Spirit Temple was better. You know?
Yeah.
And I do. Like, Ganon's Castle is a phenomenal set piece.
Yeah.
And if you are going to play the game starting, you know, beginning to end, or if you haven't gotten to Adult Link yet, do not, under any circumstance, go to Ganon's Castle until you're about to do the final boss fight, because the intro scene where you go to Ganon's Castle and it does the whole, like, the sweeping camera angles and Link does his whole shocked face, like,
yeah,
that
yeah.
stuff adds a little bit to it that maybe I'm missing out on. But, like, so it's an imposing structure. It's ominous. It's creepy. It's very, like, palpably evil. It is the inverse of Hyrule Castle as young Link.
Yeah.
All of these things are true.
Yeah.
It's just not challenging, in my opinion.
Okay. We're skirting around it, and I feel like at this point we really should just get into part three, which is the dungeon map.
Okay. Yes, we should.
Because this whole section of the game is the dungeon.
That's true.
Right?
Okay,
like,
fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, that's all it is. Okay. Part three, the dungeon map, where we analyze this week's dungeon from mechanics to music and more. Ganon's Castle. Amazing boss fight. Seriously.
Ganon as the boss fight.
But not, even... We'll get in it. The back half. Everything you do after you break the barrier is fun. And I think... creates a really cool tone.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Everything before you break the barriers is really just a best of, like it's a greatest hits of Ocarina of Time. And and for that reason, it feels like it doesn't have its own identity very much.
No, I totally agree with that. And what's even weirder to me is this is like a micro example of what I think is wrong with that first part of Ganon's Castle. Micro example.
Yeah.
So take it for what it's worth. The water temple barrier is actually the ice cavern barrier. You don't do anything related whatsoever to the water temple in that section.
I mean, yeah, that's true.
Like, it's all about blue fire, the stupid ice sliding bullshit. And you're going to have to bleep that.
Wonder which sound effect I'm going to use this week.
Ooh, it should be...
maybe Ganondorf, when he's like, oh.
Yes, that one. That's a good one. That is just like a microcosm of what annoys me about this portion of the game. Or at least that this portion of the dungeon. Also, like, every single one of them is the grab the silver rupees mechanic. Like...
most of them are. I think... crap.
There is a grab the silver rupees in every single one of them.
Is there?
Yes.
Yeah. You're right.
It's not the only one in all of them, but there is that in every single one.
Yeah, well, in the water temple one commits double gameplay design felonies by not only being mostly silver rupee based, but also by having a sliding ice block.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is a stupid
I don't like it any more now than I did when you did it the first time.
And also it forces you to use a bottle to get the blue fire.
Yeah.
Like, before I went to Ganon's Castle, I stocked all three of my bottles. Like, I had blue potion in one, I had red potion in another, and I had a fairy in the third. And I was like, I was ready to go just in case this ended up being 1,000 times harder than I remember it being.
Sure.
And then I had to dump the fairy so that I could get blue fire. And now I'm annoyed. And like, now this is no longer fun for me. Thank you, ice cavern, water temple dungeon trial thing that I don't like.
Yeah. So before I want to split the dungeon map up into two separate sections, one of which is the bottom floor and then the rest of which is climbing the tower to Ganondorf.
Okay, fair.
Okay. So we do get this dungeon, if you want to call it a dungeon, we get this dungeon's main item in the Shadow Temple room, which is, of course, the golden gauntlets.
Super cool. Also, just like silver gauntlets times two. Kind of lazy.
Right. Whatever. Well, they don't. I mean, there's nothing you can really do with them.
No, they don't affect anything except being able to lift those crazy big rocks.
Yeah, there's like, assuming you were to leave Ganon's Castle and go explore some more, which I don't know why you would do that at this point in the game. But if you were to do that, then these would help you do nothing.
They affect nothing.
Yeah. So
no, that's not true.
Right.
That's.
I was just about to ask you this.
Yeah.
Okay. So obviously there is one way in which they are helpful outside of Ganon's Castle. And I was wondering if you did that.
Oh, of course I did. Okay. So So Linden is referencing, for those of you who don't know, haven't played, I don't know, whatever. Once you get the golden gauntlets, leave Ganon's Castle back across the bridge and go left. If you go, as you're going across the bridge back towards Castletown Ruins, go left where the Great Fairy Fountain is when you're a child. It's still there. And it's got the gigantic, what is that shape?
It's an obelisk.
That's exactly what it is. Thank you. An obelisk.
Yeah.
That's the word I was looking for. It's a giant obelisk and you can only pick it up with the gold gauntlets. You throw it and you go into the fairy fountain and she gives you, you know, the same thing that you can get in, I think, every Zelda game I've played, at least. At the very end of the game, you can get this magic power up that makes you take half damage from all sources. So if you want this section of the game to be even easier, go do that. Or if you were trying to do 100% playthrough like me, go do that.
Yeah, I actually did not go pick that up because I felt like that would sort of violate the...
But it wouldn't, though, because you still only have three hearts.
Right, but you're taking less.
I would have given you a pass on it.
Okay, well, I didn't just because I felt like it was contrary to my goal of making this game hard on myself. So
fair. I did because, as previously stated, I was attempting a 100% playthrough, which we'll get into later.
Yes, and just by the way, I did finish this game without a single game
later,
over.
Later.
I did.
That's the next portion of the section.
Well, I'm talking about it right now.
Oh, okay, so, fine, okay. Whatever.
Yeah, I finished this game without a single game over. I did use my third fairy, but I didn't get a game over. So anyway, we'll talk about that here in a minute. Thank you. He's clapping for me. That's why I was doing all of this. The validation is great.
The applause.
Yeah. Okay, so golden gauntlets are the item we get in here. Yep. They are required for clearing several of the rooms in this dungeon, which
means... You need them for the fire room, and you need them to enter the light room.
Yeah. I think that's it. Yeah, I think. But that does mean you cannot do the rooms in order of when you receive the medallions, which
you actually just go counterclockwise.
Yeah, which kind of bugged me a little bit. It bugged my gameplay OCD a smidge.
I actually very much attempted to go from forest to fire to water. And as soon as I went from forest to fire,
and
I was
can't
like,
do
oh,
it. Yeah.
Can't do it. Never mind.
Yeah. By the way, that fire room kind of gave me a bit of trouble. So the main mechanic of the fire room is that you walk in and there is a sinking platform that runs the length of the room and you have to walk across it to get to different platforms that each have a silver rupee. And every time you step off of this long platform, it rises back to the surface. So you can't be on it too long. Otherwise you'll fall into the lava.
There's an extra annoying mechanic in this one where if you like fall off of a cliff or fall into the lava, then all of the silver rupees that you have previously gotten reset. I find that annoying.
Yeah, it's really annoying. But anyway, so I was having a terrible time. I don't know what the deal was, but I was trying to... There were several times where I would try to jump from the sinking platform to another platform, and the game would not perform the correct jump. You know, when Link approaches the edge of a platform, he does this kind of... He gets a little height, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like it...
Yeah.
And he didn't do that. He just sort of derped off the edge.
He said, take me, lava.
Right.
Take me to the abyss.
And I don't know why. Like, it's like, come on. This is not great. I'm not enjoying this.
I did not have that particular issue. I did have kind of a problem with the forest room. I forgot for about a minute and a half, 2 minutes, that you're supposed to play the Song of Time to make that the stupid block pop up right there. So I kept like,
wait, what?
Falling off. So in the very first silver rupee you get, you go in the door. It's right on your left. They've got the fans that are going, right?
Right.
You can use the hover boots to like go over and then it blows you to safety.
Okay, see, that's what I did.
Yeah, but also if you play the Song of Time, because Nevi does her little green fairy thing.
I'm sorry, what's her name?
I'm going to say it however the hell I want to say it, and I'm no longer ashamed of it.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, you know what, guys? The days of Matt needing to mispronounce this so terribly are numbered.
That's
so
true.
Yeah.
Nevi, that's how I've said it literally my entire life, and you haven't started correcting me about it until we started doing this podcast.
Yeah, well, that's because nobody else was listening to you. We didn't have a public.
Okay, but still, again, it's 27 years.
All right. Okay, it's fine.
Whatever.
It's fine.
Nevi does her little green fairy thing, like point of interest, which is really not when you think about it, all that helpful, because that could be a lot of different things.
We're going to be old and in the nursing home, and I'm going to lean over to Matt and I'm like,
you said we were moving on.
I'm like, you remember when we had that podcast and it was so fun? You're going to be like, yes, my favorite character was Navi.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm going to be like, why would you ruin my final moments with your mispronunciation?
And you're assuming that we're going to be in the same nursing home, and I don't think I can live with that.
And then I'm going to keel over and die. And the last thing I will have ever heard is Matthew mispronouncing Navi. Navi. Dang it.
Yes.
Why?
What have I done?
God.
Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. What point were you trying to make? Were we going somewhere there? I don't know.
I don't know. Hold on.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. Gotta collect myself a little bit after that one. Navi's whole green fairy point of interest thing, not super helpful. Lots of different things it could do. The easiest thing for that particular silver rupee in the forest temple room, instead of like trying to time it with the fan and the hover boots, is to just play the Song of Time. It pops up one of those stupid little blocks, and then you just like walk over and grab it.
Okay. This is a note that I've been meaning to bring up in every single dungeon that we've done as Adult Link, and I forget to bring it up in every episode.
Oh, please bring it up now. Yes.
I hate these Song of Time blocks.
Right?
Okay.
They are so annoying.
Well, it's and like, as a puzzle solving mechanic, they're just weird, right? It's like the people who designed the game said, okay, we have the Song of Time, right? And it's cool.
Yeah.
And we need to find a way for the player to use it outside of the one time that it's narratively required to open the door of time, right? So we're going to put these blocks in the game, and it doesn't even fit like the fantasy of what the Song of Time is. Like,
not at all.
Like, are we warping these blocks
through time so that they're where they were some other point?
Yeah, it's like, what are we doing with these?
This is one of the many areas in which I find Majora's Mask to be a superior game, is every song, every piece of Majora's Mask feels very intentional.
Yeah, you don't screw around playing the Song of Time.
No. No. Like, this is just one of the many examples in which I find Majora's Mask to be a supreme, a better game than Ocarina of Time, which I know some people will consider ultimate blasphemy. Like, if you look at them only as games, not as cultural icons or influences.
I don't think it's blasphemy. Majora's Mask is a better game.
Okay. I know you and I agree on this, but some of our listeners may like literally like have their ears bleed.
Yeah.
But like, you know, if you look at Majora's Mask compared to Ocarina of Time in a vacuum, like completely removing the effect that Ocarina of Time had on the video game industry as a whole, Majora's Mask is a better game. Anyway, that was a sidebar.
Yeah, okay. Getting back,
was a sidebar.
Yeah, getting back on track here. Okay, so we dispelled the barrier.
Yes.
We move into the main part of Ganon's castle. We're climbing the spire.
Yes.
And here's where we face a small gauntlet of some of the more difficult enemies.
It's a minor combat gauntlet.
Yeah, I don't know that its intention is really to be too very difficult.
Right.
I mean, I think the hardest room of all of these is the one where you have to fight two Iron Knuckles. And some people might say that fighting two Iron Knuckles at one time is more difficult than fighting one Iron Knuckle at a time. And those people are correct. And to them, I say, there is no reason in the world you had to fight both of these dudes at the same time.
No, if all you have to do is hit one and not the other.
Yeah.
Then they just come at you one at a time.
Yeah. Now, I guess if I was really feeling like, oh my gosh,
That's how I was feeling.
I need the rush. I'm going to fight both these guys.
I was being an adrenaline junkie. So this is actually not my main complaint, but I feel like it was the biggest missed opportunity in Ganon's castle. Like, I get why they did what they did with the barriers, and they did the whole best of, and like, you and I actually talked about this, so I'm going to go backwards just 2 seconds. The mechanic of dispelling the barrier by using the light arrows, I feel like was a very large missed opportunity to make the medallions that you get a usable item, right? I think it would have been very cool to say, like, I have to use the medallion of forest to dispel the barrier. the forest barrier, right? Like that would have been kind of cool. Like even if it's just a one-time use, like single animation, same one for everything. I don't know. I think it would have been kind of neat. So slight, very slight missed opportunity. Overall, I do understand why they did what they did. They're trying to connect all of the dungeons, bring them into the final encounter. And like they're trying to tie it all up and make it all mesh together. You have to use every item that you've got in the game. Mm-hmm. You have to use all of them.
Yeah.
So like I get all of it. I don't think it was executed particularly well in my opinion, but I get it. Whereas I feel like this combat gauntlet for me, when I love hard combat in video games.
Yeah.
And I get that Zelda is not that necessarily. Uh-huh. I totally get it. Like for me, this portion of Ganon's castle is very disappointing because like I would have loved like a straight up. I don't know if anyone ever played. I mean, a lot of people played it. I don't know if you remember, Lyndon, at the end of the Lord of the Rings Return of the King video game, there was a 100 level tower that you could go through progressively.
Yep.
And like that's what I wanted. Right. Like right here. Like I wanted a hard, challenging, no fairies. You have what you take in with you. The enemies drop like rupees and arrows and items.
You wanted
hearts.
You wanted the trial of the sword, yes. But in Ocarina of Time.
Yes, that gotcha. Is exactly what I wanted.
So just for the purposes of building momentum towards a finale and not overstaying anything's welcome. Yeah. I don't know if I would have wanted it to have gone on for that long.
No, like I didn't want it to be like, that long, but I wanted it to be like that difficult.
So
right?
if it had been like, okay, let's say 20 rooms.
Yeah.
And room number one has just got a bunch of keys or yeah. Skulltulas or whatever. But by the time you're in the final room, you're fighting four Iron Knuckles.
Yeah,
at
no,
the same
I would
time.
Be all about that.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I would even settle for like 10. And then you know, maybe you go from Keese and Skulltulas or, you know, the trash mobs. Then you go to the Lizalfos, then the Stalfos. Then the, like, I would have settled for more than we got because we got, what, four rooms?
Imagine a room. Yeah. Imagine a room where it's four Stalfos.
Ooh. And, that alone
and
is difficult.
It's not just four Stalfos, but it's four Stalfos where you have to kill them all within a certain amount of time.
See,
or they keep coming back.
That would have been so much fun for me.
Yeah.
Like I would have loved that.
Man, that sounds hard. Because
it's
kind of
sound really
because
hard.
It's a struggle sometimes to kill mm-hmm. that second Stalfos before
quickly.
The
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. But like and I get and I know that people will disagree with me. And like I'm totally okay with that. That's part of the beauty of video games, right? Is that we all look for different things and we get enjoyment out of different things within video games. What I would have really, really enjoyed and would have really, I think, made Ganon's Castle probably like top three dungeons in the game for me is if this middle section was like an actually difficult combat gauntlet that you had to like be prepared for. That didn't give you fairies at the end, that didn't give you hearts through the middle, like that you had to really showcase your mastery of the items and the combat skills that you have gained throughout the game. That would have been really good for me.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I'm not going to disagree with you at all there. Actually, I'm excited for us to get to Wind Waker because there is a section of that game that functions kind of like what you're talking about right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really fun. And then obviously, whenever we play Breath of the Wild, Trial of the Sword, I mean, my gosh.
Here's another brief aside. I am literally incapable of beating Trial of the Sword on Master Mode.
I've done it.
I can beat Trial of the Sword on regular mode all day. I have tried so many times to beat Trial of the Sword. And this just comes from me not being very good at Breath of the Wild, to be 100% honest. I'm not that good at that game, but like,
I'm okay.
I love Skyward Sword's. It's not called Trial of the Sword. What's it called?
Is it the boss rush?
No, it's the one where you go to the Thunder. It's how you get the Hylian shield. So you go to the Thunder Dragon and he puts you.
Yeah,
that's a
boss rush.
Yeah, it's a boss rush. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So I love Skyward Sword's boss rush.
But also it does have, I mean, as you're kind of like running down in the sacred grounds to try and stop Ghirahim, you have to fight a bunch of dudes to get down.
Oh,
there.
Yeah. That's just like a bunch of like trash mobs that like run at
sure.
you. And they do get progressively like it goes from red bokoblins, blue bokoblins. Yeah. Then you have the moblins and then the blue moblins.
Sure. So, anyway, I do think that a more meaningful uptick in difficulty could have made this section
for sure
more fun, but I think it's fine for what it is. But yeah. What I do love about this whole section is that as you're ascending the tower, the music that Ganondorf is playing on his organ starts to, like, you build to a crescendo, and that pulls us up to the encounter with Ganondorf. And I have a few things that I want to say about this.
But before you get into that, I just want to reiterate how much I love the vibe and the ambiance that Ganondorf's organ music gives. Like, and I think that's part of the reason why the lack of difficulty there is a little bit even more annoying, because like you're ramping up the intensity of this organ music and you're like, here we go. I'm like, you're climbing the tower, but it doesn't feel difficult, but the music is like fever pitch at one point and it's so good.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
So reiterating, yes. Agree, totally. Now say your
point. You were right. You're 100% correct. We walk in the door to Ganondorf's chamber. And one, this place looks awesome in the 3DS version.
Right?
It's like...
glow up.
Yeah, it's... okay, so this massive stained glass room, it's got this crazy chandelier up top. Honestly, it looks like you're in an opera house. It's like It's very impressively done in the 3DS version. Ganondorf's organ is massive. It's just...
yeah, and then it looks so cool. Nintendo 64 version, it was like a puny little piano thing.
Yeah.
And now it's got like the pipes all over every corner of the wall.
And it's weird awesome. Because it's actually very beautiful in some
Isn't
ways.
It really is.
I love this atmosphere because it's a stark juxtaposition from the styling.
Good word.
Thank you. It is a stark juxtaposition from the lower floors of Ganon's castle, which are kind of creepy and evil castle looking, right? And then the further up you climb, you get these stained glass windows, and it's actually very like... noble in some ways. And I mean, you know, it's still, this is all Ganondorf's evil twisted fantasy of power, right? But but as an environment, it looks really great. So you step in here and the boss fight kicks off, and on a scale of difficulty, I would give this boss fight maybe like a 5. It's really not hard at all.
Yeah, maybe.
On a scale of coolness of the music, I would give this boss fight like a 10. It's really good. The soundtrack that happens behind this boss fight is so freaking cool.
Oh, yeah.
And the biggest gripe I have with this boss fight is that it really is just a less difficult version of the Phantom Ganon boss fight. Because the main mechanic is the same. It's tennis balling the energy back and forth, and then every time you hit Ganondorf, you have to cripple him with a light arrow, and then you can hit him with your sword. But it's easier than the Phantom Ganon fight, because the Phantom Ganon fight has that whole he's coming out of paintings and you have to pick the right one, you know? And with this one, Ganondorf is just kind of hanging there, so the difficulty only comes from correctly timing your tennis ball.
Which is not hard unless you're playing on a Wii U gamepad.
Yeah, it's definitely not super hard. The only thing that's a little difficult about it is whenever he does his like supercharged that shoots out multiple at the same time. And there is a way to counter that.
It's spin move.
Yeah, you have to use your spin move, charge it up. And then once all those energy balls kind of get towards you, you can release the spin and it'll
hit them all.
Yeah.
So, and I guess recency bias is kind of a thing, right? Like we all acknowledge that the more recently you do something, the stronger your feelings are about it. Right?
Sure.
Recency bias for me in this fight is I killed Ganondorf so quickly, he never even did that.
Really?
He like, and I didn't even try that hard. I was using the Master Sword, not the Big Goron Sword.
I wonder, can you use the Big Goron Sword to tennis ball?
Yes, actually you can.
Okay.
Like the annoying thing for me, I guess, this time was I beat him so quickly that he didn't do what I call the black hole move, you know, the giant ball.
Right.
He also didn't reduce the size of the arena a single time.
Well, he never reduces the size of the arena, but if his bolts hit some of those blocks
can't he do a ground slam that will like knock some stuff off? I remembered him doing that when I was
so
younger.
So he starts the fight by doing a ground slam, and that creates a gap that you can fall through. But then if you are not standing on one of the corners of the arena, like if he's shooting a bolt at you, if it hits anything other than a corner, then a chunk falls out of the walkway.
Maybe I was just misremembering.
So I guess in theory, this fight is difficult if you spend a lot of time
avoiding.
Avoiding? Yeah. Right. Like, and then it becomes less arena for you to stand on. But I just don't know how. I mean, that would,
like, the first time you fight him, I can kind of see it. Like, although if you remember, like, obviously you had to do this for the Phantom Ganon fight. So you're right. Like, it's like the game has trained you how to do this. Yeah, I would say that, like, the Ganondorf fight is underwhelming in a lot of ways for me. Besides the music, I just think it's not a great fight.
Tell you what's not underwhelming.
Do tell.
The Ganon fight.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yes. We're gonna get there. Yeah. But okay. We need to get back down the castle.
Okay. So
first,
we beat Ganondorf, and then we go back down the tower. Everything's collapsing, and Zelda's opening doors for us. And then, you know, it's mostly non-combat based, but we do have one of those awesome moments where we have to fight two Stalfos within a certain amount of time. And this is where I used my third fairy.
Yeah, and so it's also like, also it happens to be in an arena that's got environmental hazards. So if you hit if you hit a fire block, you get hurt, right? So I like that.
Or if you hit the fire that Zelda's like trapped in.
Yes, I actually like this Stalfos fight a lot. Just generally going back down the castle is interesting, I guess. Like it's interesting enough. Not difficult at all. Like, I don't know. At the very least, I guess I'll say this. At the least, they made you go a different way than you went up.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't just like a rinse and repeat thing.
Yeah,
right?
most definitely.
So I'll give it that. The Stalfos fight's cool. You don't fight anything else?
Well, they do place that one like really annoying Redead.
Oh, yes. Like, that mother got me. He actually got me.
Really?
Yeah. So like I forgot he was there, and I was just kind of running, and he froze me.
He didn't get me. And
it's a good thing he didn't, because you would have died.
Yeah, I would have had a game over, because I didn't have any more fairies. And
yeah, that would have been bad.
I don't think you can shake a Redead off fast enough to not die if you only have three hearts.
If you have if you have the half damage, then you're fine. But if you don't, then no, you're dead.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, he didn't get me. I managed to avoid him, but we get out of the castle, and then, as Matt so dramatically, you know, conveyed, we think it's done, and it's not done. Ganon comes back out of the ground. And I love so much, every other boss in this game has got, like, when their subtitle pops up, it says boss's name with a descriptor, like armored arachnid Queen Goma or whatever. Mm-hmm. With this one, it is Ganon comes out of the ground, and the music kicks in, that final battle music, which I'm absolutely cutting in right here. That happens, and then his name, it's just Ganon. No descriptor, no anything, just boom, there it is. And I love that, because that is significant even to me as somebody who didn't play Link to the Past before this game.
Right.
Because obviously Ganon as an enemy is a very different thing in A Link to the Past and A Legend of Zelda. And in this game, Ganondorf is a man. He's not a beast. Right. Mm-hmm. And so this is just such a cool moment where he becomes that beast. You know, he becomes very similar to the classic enemy that you're used to. Mm-hmm. And it is not a super easy fight. Like the mechanics of it are easy enough. It's just that he's fast. He'll chase you down.
He's a lot faster than any of the other bosses we've
fought. Yeah, and like resource scarcity is a thing in here.
Oh, huge. Magic meter scarcity? Man, that's a real thing.
Yeah. And I don't know why. I mean, so some of those blocks he can destroy, if you didn't know this, if you run out of magic meter while you're fighting Ganon, if you put a piece of debris on the battlefield between you and Ganon, he'll hit it with his sword and resources will come out of it. Hearts, fairies, magic meter, whatever.
Bombs at one point.
Yeah, that's my thing.
Like, why are bombs?
What am I doing with bombs in here?
I don't know. You know?
It's really weird.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I was going to bring that up also, but like to your point, like
at least it's not rupees.
At least it's not rupees.
Like he breaks the thing, and
it's just like five fifty rupees.
It's like three.
Pieces.
It's like three green rupees. I'm like, come on,
come on, man.
Yeah.
So to reiterate your point there about like Ganon no subtitle, like it underscores the uniqueness and the gravity of this boss, right? And I totally get that. And also love it. Also, this was your number one boss fight music, right? When we did our bonus episode ranking our top 10 boss fights?
No, my number one boss fight music was Mulgera.
Oh, but right, but this was your number one final boss fight music.
Yes. It was. And it's really great. It's a great soundtrack and I love it a lot.
It's fantastic. Like the whole everything surrounding this boss fight, I don't want to use the word vibe again because I feel like I've used that a lot already, but the whole vibe of this fight, the lightning, the storm, the ring of fire, the debris, giant Ganon, he's super fast. And if he hits you, even with your defense bonus, it takes like 4 hearts.
Yeah.
Like it is intense.
It's a lot. Let me tell you, if all you have is 3 hearts and you don't have the Great Fairy's defense bonus, then yes, this is, you're definitely sweating a bit trying to stay away from this guy.
Yeah.
And it's great. It has a nice frantic atmosphere. I love the whole, like, you losing the Master Sword. And then, I mean, when I was, obviously the animation doesn't completely sell it now. Like we've had, cooler games since then that or not necessarily cooler games, but like better animation,
better
cinematic quality in games since then. But like as a kid, that was freaking
really
cool. Like, oh my gosh, the sword, where'd it go?
Yeah, and also, like, if you're not thinking on your feet, you're like, what am I supposed to do now? And then you have to remember, like, at the very least, you have your Megaton Hammer, right?
Right, which I use the Big Goron Sword for.
Oh,
this. I just know to switch to that. But
yeah, but if you didn't do the Big Goron Sword quest, then you're stuck with a Megaton Hammer. So this whole section before you get the Master Sword back lasts twice as long.
Well, and I can actually see this being kind of a difficult moment. If you didn't get the Big Goron Sword, and you're put in this position, I can see somebody having to take a minute to problem solve how to deal damage,
yeah,
right?
For sure.
Because the Megaton Hammer has not been used to damage any enemy really
since
at all.
Vulvagia.
Like the Megaton Hammer is mostly used for puzzle solving in the Fire Temple or to push rusted switches after that.
Like,
and,
I guess
and for nothing else.
The only thing that you really could use other than the Megaton Hammer, theoretically, you could use a bomb if you were really good at throwing it at the right distance.
Can you damage him with bombs?
I never tried because I've always used the Big Goron Sword, but I would assume so.
Hold on. Maybe this is why it gives you bombs in that fight.
So you're like either stuck with bombs, bomb chews, Megaton Hammer. I'm assuming you can use regular arrows to like shoot his tail.
I don't know. Hold on. I'm pulling this up right now. I'm gonna try and figure out.
But back to your point about, you know, the first time I remember playing Ganon, it took me effing forever to figure out how to do damage to him. It took me longer to figure out how to stun him than anything else. Like I was trying, like it's fairly obvious, like when you find a weak point on a boss, they're in Zelda, they're generally not that hard to find. Like Tail, like Nevi is floating around the tail. Like, okay, I should probably hit that. Obviously you can't damage his tail when he's not stunned. So it took me forever to figure out how to stun him. And then, I mean, I was like 5 at the time. So trying to like stun him, go around and hit his tail. I'd never got that timing quite right.
Right.
It was hard. Now super easy, but, it's just like, there's a flow to this battle that I can see, especially for first time players, being extremely difficult, which I love.
Okay. Man, all right. Are you ready to go on a ride here?
I am so ready.
Okay. This is from Zeldapedia, by the way. Link must defeat Ganon by slashing him in the tail with the Big Goron Sword, the Megaton Hammer, or shooting him with light arrows. Oddly enough, Deku Nuts can also be used to damage him.
What?
To reach the tail, Link can do several things. He can roll through Ganon's legs, stun him with a light arrow, or hit his face repeatedly with the long shot while sidestepping around him.
What?
Approximately halfway through the battle. Okay, so that's interesting because the only way I've ever done this is to stun him by shooting him with a light arrow.
And then hit him.
And
with
then
the big
running
horns.
Around him and hitting his tail. But yeah. I guess you can damage him if he's not stunned. This implies that if you can just get behind him, you can shoot his tail. Like, you can hit his tail with whatever might occur to you, like, from this list. Light arrows.
Really?
Light arrows, Big Goron Sword, Deku Nuts, whatever.
Are we just doing this the hard way?
No, I don't think so. It sounds like we're doing it the easy way, but it sounds it sounds like you can. There are other ways to go about this, which I had no idea. It appears that one of those ways is not bombs. So
I don't know why it gives you bombs. Yes. Then that makes no sense.
still don't understand that at all. But
don't
yeah,
get the bombs. But okay,
you can hit his face repeatedly with the long shot while sidestepping around him. That's wild. I had no idea you could do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good way to, like, if you're out of magic meter, I guess.
I don't know. I have no idea. It's so crazy. Anywho, yeah, there you go.
So there's that.
If you haven't done this yet, maybe try hitting him in the face with a long shot.
Let us know if it works on Twitter. Yeah. Because, like, now I'm curious.
Okay. So anyway, boss fight is done, and it is a good final boss fight of the game.
100% agree.
Yeah,
no qualifications whatsoever.
If for no other reason, just because the tone of this whole fight is great.
It's amazing.
The atmosphere is great. The music is great. It's awesome.
So good.
All right, Matt, I think that probably wraps up the dungeon map, right? I mean, this one's kind of tough because
it does, but I feel like we have to go back up to part two for the wrap up section where, you know, it's the dialogue for Zelda. So we're going to go from 2 to 3 to 2 and then down to 4.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Well, I guess that's fair because we have to talk about the final.
We have to talk about the finale. Yeah.
Okay. So do you think... okay. I want to get into a conversation about the diverging timeline.
I so want to do that also, but we don't have time.
I feel like we should do that next week and explain
that's a good point.
The importance for the series as a whole. Because
also, I just made a time travel joke and you didn't laugh.
got it. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, that one went right over my head. So basically, if you follow the narrative of the Zelda games, at this point, we have several different branching timelines and several different paths of Zelda games come off of this. We'll explain that all later if you don't already know about it, but we're not going
to
talk about this.
Tune in next week to hear our takes on the divergent timeline theories.
Yeah. But anyway, I mean, we do get some nice closure for a lot of the characters in this game, right? We have our...
Yeah.
We beat Ganon. We have another conversation with Zelda. I don't know why she sends us back to our own time with Zelda's lullaby.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to say that too.
I feel like the Song of Time
would be the way to go. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
no,
whatever, you know, she is,
but she didn't even send us back to our own timeline. She just sent us back to the Temple of Time, but using Zelda's lullaby. Cause we still had to put the Master Sword back in its pedestal.
Oh, well that's fair, I guess. But then I have some questions because the implication here is that so we put the Master Sword back and then we go back to talk to Zelda in the courtyard as Child Link.
Right.
But in the child timeline that we've been playing, she's already fled the castle.
No. So, okay.
So
also a good point.
So did she send us back to a previous time
I think so. I mean, this is pure speculation because there's nothing like canonically or in game to describe any of this, right?
Right.
Because at the point in which, as Child Link, we're still getting ahead of ourselves, but anyway, at the point as Child Link, when you go back to the courtyard and encounter Zelda for the first last time, because time travel is weird, she is looking through the window at Ganondorf.
Yeah.
Right. So you have to assume that Ganondorf is still around, and you have to assume that at least part of this is all going to go somewhat the same way, and like Link is just there to like tell Zelda, like, hey, leave well enough alone. If we don't do anything, he won't be able to do shit.
So, of course, the answer Nintendo has given to this question is that Link goes back to a time before. So you might remember back when we did the Forest Temple episode.
Yes.
Zelda flees the castle because Ganondorf tries to take over. And you can't get back into the castle after that. She's not there.
Right.
So Zelda in the finale of this game sends us back prior to that, clearly, because Zelda's still
there. Because she's still in the courtyard.
Yeah, she's still there. So the in-universe explanation for this is that Zelda sends us back to a time where Child Link can warn Princess Zelda about Ganondorf. Or I guess he can convince her to tell the king about Ganondorf, because there are games that spin off from this point where Child Link's warning caused Ganondorf to become imprisoned, and then nothing else happens after that.
Yeah, so there's a lot of interesting things that happen here, right? So I'm gonna go point by point because that's how my brain works here. So after we beat Ganon, we are for some reason floating in the clouds. Not sure how that happens. Maybe Triforce of Wisdom magic. We'll go with that. And then Zelda sends us back using Zelda's lullaby for some reason. Still don't know why. To the Temple of Time and instructs us, hey, this was all my fault. So this is Zelda. I'm talking like Zelda. Zelda says, this was all my fault because I tried to control the Sacred Realm and the Triforce at such a young age. I didn't understand it. In order to fix this and to give you back your childhood, which I robbed you of because of my mistake, put the Master Sword back in its pedestal. You'll go back in time and you can stop this all from happening. Right? Okay. So we do that. Boom. And then as Child Link, Nevi flies away and goes back to Kokiri Forest, or some people grimly thinks that she goes off to die, which makes me very sad.
Well, that can't be true because the entire premise of Majora's Mask is then invalid.
No, the entire premise of Majora's Mask is that he's looking for Nevi, but if Nevi flew off and died out of sight of Link,
I'm gonna put that to one side. I don't think that happens.
I would generally agree with you.
Yeah,
but I'm just saying there are some morbid people out there who that is their theory.
All right.
Nevi goes back to Kokiri Forest. Link finally accepts that he is not a Kokiri. He's a Hylian. And he's going to go warn Princess Zelda and stop them from opening the doors of time and thus allowing Ganondorf access to the Sacred Realm. Boom. Somehow, 2 7-year-old children convince the King of Hyrule that his new ally from a neighboring kingdom who was his enemy is now bad.
Right, but the Door of Time's already open.
No, but it can't be, because if the Door of Time was open, then Zelda would have already fled the castle.
Well, then how did we get out of there?
Again, Lyndon, time travel is confusing. I don't know. I mean, but you're right, actually, now that I think about it, because yeah, we put the Master Sword back, we leave the antechamber, we leave the Chamber of the Sword, all 3 spiritual stones are still there, but Zelda hasn't fled
the
castle
yet. Well, you don't see them. You don't see the spiritual stones floating there.
But you have to assume that they're there because you can't open the Door of Time without the spiritual stones being there.
Right, but like, yes, and that's why I'm confused, because like, if we go back to a time that's previous to us acquiring all the spiritual stones, then how are we getting out of this room? Like,
I mean, we do have all the warp songs. We could just warp out.
Oh, that's no.
No,
we gave the ocarina back to Zelda. I don't know. I don't understand it. Oh, gosh. I don't think we're supposed to be asking this many questions. Oh, geez.
Oh, man. Okay. Anyway. We somehow get out of the Chamber of the Sword and somehow convince the King of Hyrule that Ganondorf is actually bad and he doesn't want peace. And then that spawns us off into the Majora's Mask, Twilight Princess, Breath of the Wild timeline.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about right. Okay, anywho.
It's a lot, right?
It's a lot. It's a lot, yeah. But let's bring it back to just Ocarina of Time.
Yeah, okay.
How do we feel at the end of this game? I mean, because we mm-hmm. because the finale, the cutscenes that play over the finale when we have mm-hmm. this awesome music reel playing,
are
that,
all from the adult timeline.
All from the adult timeline, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
And then we get kind of a nice, like, yub nub. You know,
oh,
let's Ewok.
See, I was going to compare it to that, too. The Return of the Jedi, yub nub.
Yeah, right. Awesome. We're like, we're
please
playing.
Cut that music yeah, over it.
We've got like the Stormtrooper helmet marimbas going on.
Maybe we're tearing down some statues of Palpatine.
Yeah, exactly.
Somewhere.
Right. Everyone's hugging the Gerudo or doing a line dance. It's fun. Yeah. Everyone's at Lon Lon Ranch having a party.
Yay.
And then we cut to the sages who have their Obi-Wan moment up on Death Mountain.
Super Obi-Wan moment.
Which really does lead me to think that, yes, these
they're
guys are
totally
all dead.
Dead.
Yeah, they're all dead.
They're all dead. Very dead.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. or undead, I guess.
They're spirits. They're sages. That's
yeah.
what they do, right?
Okay, cool. So,
Force ghosts.
So yeah, all is right in the world. Ingo and Talon are hugging.
Well, but it's not right because you still have all the re-deads. You still have Castle Town's a disaster. Hyrule Castle's completely destroyed. It presumably, once Ganondorf died, fell into the abyss that was underneath of it. Like, that's why the adult timeline is so effed up and dark, right? It's
right.
It's still not good.
Right,
but
sure.
Like, we're supposedly yeah, on but the path back to recovery.
Yes,
right?
But these people all live.
Yes, these yeah. So everyone that we like generally care about, other than the sages who are questionably dead, undead spirits, whatever. Everyone that we have encountered really along the course of the game ends up alive and in a better place than they were.
Yeah.
And like hope is restored to Hyrule, I guess we'll say.
Yeah, that sounds about right. But yeah, definitely some very interesting things to think about in terms of like the timeline and time travel and like the implications of, yeah, what happens to all of these people in each timeline, which mm-hmm. is demonstrated to be different depending on which one you're in. So mm-hmm.
yeah, anyway. Very.
Okay, that was a very meandering part three, which is the dungeon map.
It kind of went between three and two, and yeah, it was a whole...
Yeah, anywho, we've been all over the place. But regardless, I want to move us quickly, because I don't think we're going to spend much time here. Let's talk part four, which is side quests. This is mostly for you, Matt, because I know that you were trying to do a completionist run of this game. And I... Look, once I kind of... I was thinking to myself, before I booted up, to play this time, I was like, maybe I'll go finish like the mask thing before I do Ganon's Castle. But then I didn't realize that it was going to just dump me straight into the cutscene in the Temple of Time.
And then you like can't do anything after that, right?
Yeah. You could, but like I'm not in the mood to.
No,
like,
yeah, there's the tone of the game is already set and you're like, let's go.
Right? Yeah, okay. So regardless, I didn't do a single side quest in this section of the game, but I want to know if you tried to, where you netted out.
So this is a point where I'm very frustrated with, I assume, Nintendo. Maybe it was just the limitations of the 90s technology. I was attempting a 100% playthrough. The last thing that I did, in full transparency to our viewers, is the last thing I attempted to do was get the fourth bottle by doing all 10 large pose. I spent 2.5 hours galloping around Hyrule Field looking for these Poes. I looked up a map of their spawn locations. And I mean, I looked up a map of their spawn locations within 30 minutes because I was just annoyed. I got 9 out of 10 Poes. And then over the course of a solid hour, went to every single spawn location on the map for the large pose, and not a single one of them spawned. I approached it from every single angle I could think of. I did it on foot. I did it on horse. I did everything, and they did not spawn. So the only conclusion that I could come to was I had previously killed one of these Poes and either captured it and not sold it to the Poe guy, or had killed it and not captured it in a bottle. And apparently, they do not spawn again after you kill them. So my 100% completionist playthrough was ruined by that. And after 2.5 hours of doing that, I literally said, screw it, and just ditched the last 20 Sculptulas I needed to get. So I netted out with 16 hearts, all of the magic spells, all of the items, the
you
big
failed.
Goron sword. No, I did. I totally failed. I did not complete 100%. Even with, like, even if you were just to exclude the fourth bottle, I was so annoyed at that point that I just said, and decided to move on.
Okay, cool. That's fair. I would like to do a little follow-up research and find out if you choose to not collect one of the big Poes, does that ruin it for you? Like, just
I mean, I've spent a while googling this and there was not a good answer, like, other than it literally, like, everyone was saying just go to all the spawn locations over and over again. And again, after 2.5 hours, I was like, I don't want to ride a Pona for one more millisecond.
Yeah.
Or like, yeah, I'm just like over it.
Okay, all right, so there we go. That's where we are at with side quests this week.
Total failure.
Much ado about nothing.
Yeah. Total failure.
Okay. Part five, which is Z targeting, where we lock onto fascinating characters or enemies that we happen to cross. I really don't know that there's too much to get into here either.
Not
but,
really.
I mean, do you have a... I'm going to make you pick a Z targeting
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, I know. I mean, like, I think the interesting thing character-wise in this section of the game is the Sheik Zelda transition. Like,
yeah,
I mean, that's, I think that's the obvious pick, right? Sheik has been this mysterious figure that has helped you along the way, has always known like kind of what you needed, has given you helpful hints, has, you know, is apparently immune to Death Mountain's volcanic fire, as well as being able to supposedly traverse the Gerudo Desert without a long shot or an eye of truth. You know, this is kind of unique, interesting character.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden turns out to be Zelda and also the wielder of the Triforce of Wisdom. All cool things, right? Like, that was a very... I remember the first time playing it, that was like, oh, whoa, did not see that coming.
Yeah, okay. Sheik, always good pick. I'm struggling to find a good answer here. So I'm just going to go with that that overachieving redead in Ganden's castle.
Oh, right? Man, he was really going for it.
Yeah, he's like, you know, all the other redeads are like, I'm going to chill out in Castletown, whatever, no big deal. And this redead's like, you know what? Where can I really get this Link guy? Where can I post up and really make this guy's life hard? And yeah, he's just like, you know what? I'm going to get in up here. It's just me. It's me by myself. No one believes in me, but I'm going to go do it. Is that redead?
Ah, man, good on you, redead. And I good on you.
I'm ideologically opposed to everything that redead stands for.
Absolutely.
But also, I respect his, you know, his feistiness.
So. You know, I guess another fairly good thing to talk about here is like when the goddesses made the Triforce, how could they not think that like giving someone with an impure heart like Ganondorf the Triforce of Power? Like, how can that not, like, cross your mind? Or, like, do you just not care? Like, I don't know. It feels like bad divine planning.
Yeah,
there.
I mean, if the goddesses are real, then how can they allow evil in the world? Oh, my gosh. Okay. That has been part five, which is Z-targeting. Not a whole lot to get into. Not a whole lot to get into this week there, but when we start up Link's Awakening in 2 weeks, we're going to have I suspect we're going to have
a lot of Z-targeting.
No end of Z-targeting picks. It's going to be a great time. All right, let's get into part six, which is our final thoughts. Matt, tie this whole section up for us.
The ending of Ocarina of Time is incredibly important to the overall Zelda universe. While I find it underwhelming in many ways, the final fight against Ganon is extraordinarily memorable.
Yeah, I also would not put it in the top ranking of like last dungeons of Zelda games. I think that a lot of Zelda games do this better. That being said, there is no doubt that from an in-universe standpoint, the ramifications of what happened in this section of the game are massive. And we'll talk about that more next week. But that's also one of the reasons that we started with Ocarina of Time, honestly.
It really is, I think, the main reason. One of two main reasons we started with it.
Sure. Right, yeah. I mean, it most other Zelda games kind of flow from this point. So,
yeah.
Anywho, so from a narrative standpoint, I think that's really cool. The dungeon itself, not that great. The boss fight.
One of two.
Yeah, one of two. Well, I mean, but everything, though, even though Ganondorf is not difficult, the tone and the atmosphere of that fight is really cool.
That's fair.
And then the crescendo from that point to the end of the game where you beat Ganon.
I guess it is fair to say that this is the only fight in the entire game, the Ganondorf fight, where you don't have Nevi and your Z targeting. Like, you don't have it.
Yeah.
I think that is interesting as a design choice.
It is, and I wish that they had leaned into it just a bit more.
Yeah, I totally agree. It didn't feel like it affected the fight at all. But it, nonetheless, interesting design choice.
Yeah, no, I agree. Okay. That has been the Sacred Realms Rundown. This is, as I said before, the final one for Ocarina of Time. So we're gonna circle back around to this section of the podcast when we get into whatever game we play next, currently looking like Link's Awakening. Next week, our episode is going to stick to a very different format. We're not going to be going into the Sacred Realms Rundown because, obviously, we are not playing a new section of the game. We're going to have a bit more of a freewheeling conversation about Ocarina of Time and our final thoughts on it. So, anywho, end of an era, right?
Like, I mean, it's the end of our, not, I mean, it's more or less the end of our first season of this podcast. It has been different than I expected, more fun.
I'm not going to toast you just yet because technically
we have another episode.
Yeah, but
like this is the last like standard episode of our first season. And like, that's really cool.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
I mean,
this is kind of surreal. It's also very hard for me to believe that it has actually been 10 weeks since we started doing this.
Yeah. And you know what? It has not been a giant flaming failure.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, that is also shocking to me, is that people enjoy listening to us. Like, wow, I like that. I can get on board with it.
Yeah, I'm all about it. I mean, seriously, it's been a great journey so far, and I am excited to carry on and do more of this, you know? I mean,
we are in this as long as you guys are continuing to listen.
Yeah, this is going well enough to where we are choosing to not bail out.
if there was like five of y'all, we'd be like pulling the escape cord at this point and saying like, well, this was fun, we're not gonna do it again. But no, you guys are like engaging and on board, and we're having a good time, and y'all are having a good time. Nope. So we're just gonna keep going.
We are doing it. So we'll talk more next week and in following weeks about what exactly that means, but onward and upward from here. Before we get out of here for this week, we don't have a lot of news to talk about. We don't have a listener mail we wanted to bring up, but I do just want to highlight real fast the fact that, once again, E3 is right around the corner. I cannot stress enough that I think Nintendo has got some really fun and interesting stuff to show us this year, about Zelda specifically, but also just, you know, Nintendo generally. They're always working on cool stuff. But so this is just a reminder that by the time you guys are listening to this episode, before the next episode airs, we will have had Nintendo's E3 press conference. It is taking place on Tuesday, June 15th at 9 a.m. Pacific time. They've said that it's going to be a 40-minute Nintendo Direct, and then that's going to be followed up by 3 hours of Nintendo Treehouse game streaming, where they're going to play through some of the stuff that they show off in their Direct. So, we can only hope that Breath of the Wild 2 is one of the things that is going to fall under that umbrella. We have no reason to think that won't be the case, but it is Nintendo, so we don't know. But anyway, we will find out. It's all very close. Okay, so yeah, put that on your calendars. Tuesday, June 15th, Nintendo's E3 Direct. Going to be a great one. Oh, man. All right, Matt. This has been fun, yeah?
Yeah, you know, I always love having on guests, but there's something special about just shooting the breeze, just you and me.
You're right, there is. That being said, I want to remind everybody that this week we did have our fourth bonus episode of this season.
Ooh, that was so much fun.
Yes, okay, right before we had this, right before recording this conversation, we were on with Eric Buckles of... crap. What did he hold on? I'm going to need to
Hero of Time.
No, well, that, but like, who does he currently work for?
Break Limit Gaming.
Eric Buckles. Looking it up. So yeah, right before we recorded this conversation, we were on with Eric Buckles, who is a composer working in video games, and you guys might know him best from Hero of Time, which is a symphonic rearrangement of the Ocarina of Time soundtrack, and then also he did work on the Symphony of the Goddesses, which if you managed to make it to one of those shows while it was running, then good on you. That's a great time. And then also the Zelda 25th Anniversary Orchestra CD that came with Skyward Sword. So he's got a long history with Zelda music in general, but also, you know, he works in video gaming generally. So he's done some very neat work there. The conversation is great. I mean, the musical legacy of Zelda is immense. And Matt and I had a great time talking with him about that.
We got to unleash our inner band nerd, which was just a really fun time for us both.
Yep, we enjoyed it very, very much. So that conversation is great. If you want to listen to it, head over to our Patreon. It will be available there. completely 100% worth your time. Can't recommend it enough.
All right, Matt, you ready to get out of here for the week?
I am. And then we will be back next week to tell you guys all about the timeline split and what's coming next.
Yep, we're gonna put a bow on Ocarina of Time and then kind of lay down what the road looks like from here for this podcast. So it's gonna be a great time.
Thank you again, all of you, for all the downloads, all the listens, all the likes, all the upvotes. You are why we do this.
Y'all the best. If you enjoyed today's show and you would like a little extra Sacred Realms in your life, you can head over to patreon.com/sacredrealmspod and you can become a patron. If you don't have any rupees, it's not a problem. 5-star Apple Podcast reviews are a great free way to support us. More reviews means that more people see our show, and that makes us very happy Hylians. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Sacred Realms Pod for updates on the podcast and for behind the scenes action. Sacred Realms will be back next Wednesday with our final thoughts on Ocarina of Time as we transition from that game to the next one that we are going to play. We'd love for you to play along with us. If you have not been completely in step with us as we've been going week to week, Ocarina of Time is an excellent, excellent game, and we highly recommend you play through it. That can, of course, be done on the Nintendo 2DS or 3DS. You can play it on the Collector's Edition disc that came with Wind Waker on the GameCube. You can, but should absolutely not play it on your Wii U gamepad virtual console. And of course, you can always play it on your trusty old N64. In the meantime, may your hearts be full and may your arrows never miss. We'll catch you guys next time. Sacred Realms is an independent podcast production, which is produced, edited, and mixed by me, Lyndon Willoughby. Our music comes from Zelda and Chill by Mikkel and is graciously provided to us by Mikkel and Game Chops Records. Zelda and Chill is available to stream on Spotify or to purchase directly from GameChops.com. Finally, our thanks go to Nintendo for creating such exceptional and innovative experiences.
Bye!